This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I find it disconcerting.
There will be an appropriate time and a place to review policy.
What does this rapporteur even do?
The liberals and conservatives want to play a political game and score points.
I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
You're actually sharing half of the story.
Lies, 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 yeah.
Certainly in Ottawa, where they all think they do. I guess the world is centered around them. But let's bring in Tom Korski, managing editor over at Blacklock Reporter. You got your budget shoes on?
Pretty exciting. No, it's not. I don't even like to go into the lockup. It's like an all-day hostage taking. It's just dreadful.
It truly is.
If anyone ever invites you to go into a budget lockup, avoid it at all costs. It's horrible.
It was the one assignment. Anytime as assignment, like when it was like handing out assignments to reporters, I was hiding under the table. I was like, do not, nope, do not want it. It would be torture for me. Torture.
6 hours. It's 6 hours. You're locked in a room with Department of Finance guys.
Yeah. I don't even think they offer good sandwiches either. So, and I think they got rid of the bar a long time ago. Hey, did you hear what David Dodge said? Can I just play you? Because you'd certainly remember back in the 80s. But here's what David Dodge is warning about today's budget.
I think this is likely to be the worst budget since the McKechnie budget of 1982, in the sense of pointing us in the wrong direction as to how we go about raising the incomes of Canadians and actually making Canadians feel better over the medium term.
Worst one. You remember the good old years of 82, 81? That was a fun time for a lot of families, losing everything.
And Dodge has testified in... Alex, he will say to anyone, any service club, any parliamentary committee, anyone who wants to listen to him, he has been saying for years, finances are out of control. You must run a tight ship. You have to control the spending. You have to get those debt payments down. No one listens. He's lived it, as have any of us over the age of 40, and we're all going to live it again. Who expects today that Minister Freeland is going to rein in spending? There's literally zero chance of that. It's just not going to happen. So you keep leaving that problem down the road. It gets worse and worse, and you're just piling it on the kids. It's absolutely cruel.
Yeah, well, that is the warning from the former Bank of Canada guy who probably does not envy Tiff Macklem, but oh well, that guy didn't do the right thing from the start. So I want to talk about this comments about safe supply. When your own Liberal MPs, which in this case is the MP for Thunder Bay, Rainy River, Ontario, when your own MPs are saying, yeah, this safe supply thing is not working, it's causing public disorder, it's not going well for you.
It's striking, isn't it? Two doctors on the Commons Health Committee from the Government Caucus, Marcus Pawlowski, used to be an emergency room physician from Thunder Bay, and Dr. Hanley from Yukon, used to be chief public health officer in Yukon, both saying they're getting tired of public disorder when they walk off Parliament Hill. Every city relates to this, but this is, you know, when you have an MP saying, I tried to meet some constituents in a bar, and one of them was assaulted. And this is within blocks of Parliament Hill. There's safe supply sites. Dr. Pawlowski in Commons Health Committee went on and on in cross-examining police witnesses on the public disorder that has resulted from safe supply drug policies. It is, in my opinion, Alex, it is probably one of the most serious issues that is never talked about in the House of Commons, for obvious reasons. No one wants to be an unfeeling monster. But when Pawlowski says it's the majority of Canadians, I quote him accurately, have now concluded that downtown is out of control. Doesn't matter what city you live in. That's the reality.
Yeah, and certainly Thunder Bay. I mean, they're dealing, and all these smaller places are dealing with massive, massive issues of drug use out in the open. I mean, we know what's going on in Vancouver and Toronto, but it absorbs a little bit better in the bigger sectors. But, you know, Carolyn Bennett, she's gone. She's off to retirement. She's got a nice cushy appointment that she's going into. But what are they going to do about this, Tom? Because can you imagine if they don't do anything and what this country looks like in 5 years on this course?
Someone's going to do something, and if you talk to local authorities, away from the microphones and the cameras, you know what they'll say. Number one, immigration. Number two, safe supply. Both federal policies, and it landed right on our doorstep. Someone was saying the other day, Winnipeg, a city I know well, saying Winnipeg has pretty much gone to hell.
Yeah.
Halifax has had enormous issues for years. We can't have this, Alex.
Belleville, you name it. People are like, you know.
You name it.
Yeah.
But these cities belong to ratepayers, too. And ratepayers get to, as Pawlowski pointed out, you get to walk down the street without smelling human excrement. This is your city, too. We can't have public disorder.
Yeah, well, you would see, you would think they would see that, but we'll watch this one. Meanwhile, Governor General Mary Simon, she's a little more political than I think most people would want their governor generals to be. She was at Rideau Hall hosting this conference. I think it was Monday, actually. Was yesterday Monday? Yes. Anyway, she was hosting something at some date. But it was all about supporting the Online Harms Act. And so, like, she had the Attorney General, Arifa Virani, and all these, people, influencers and stuff around her. I'm like, that's not your lane.
No, they want to talk about internet regulation. They want to talk about mean tweets, which is no one's business, frankly. That is not the Governor General's business. Can you imagine the Queen having a seminar at Buckingham Palace to talk about a bill before the House of Commons in England? That would be outrageous. Well, that's what, God bless her, Mary Simon just did. She wanted to have a conference in the company of the Attorney General of Canada. This is not a bill without contention. This is about internet censorship. This is C-63, the Online Harms Act. There's a lot of people who don't like this bill who were not invited to Rideau Hall by Governor General Mary to discuss their feelings about mean tweets. I've never seen this before. I understand that Mary Simon feels some sort of personal ownership over the internet. It's none of her business. If you don't like what they say about you on Twitter, don't read it.
Yeah. But the consultation they should be doing is not with the influencers. It's with the Canadian public.
I don't understand Bill C-63. If it passes, it will be defeated in the courts. Why Cabinet, down 20 points, would want to die on this hill with the help of Governor General Mary Simon is just beyond me. I don't get it.
Well, because you'd rather us not talk about that, so that's why you would want to pass these bills. But we'll see. I tend to agree with you that it's probably not going where they would like it to go. Meanwhile, this is the kind of thing that on budget day, Tom, I think people, unless I'm reading this wrong, they really look at government and go, really, if you want to help, you could. And this has everything to do with dairy farmers. They get, lots of subsidies. But, a third, you're writing, of dairy farmers in this country are getting direct subsidies under a 2017 trade pact. So can you explain this? Because I do find this issue complicated, but are you telling me that dairy farmers are getting subsidies on top of their already subsidized, income? Because,
yes.
We pay a lot. Okay.
Yes, they are. I can explain it. Going back to 2017, Cabinet signed a free trade bill with the European Union. Part of the deal said that the European cheesemakers could import tariff-free a slightly higher quota of European cheese into Canada. It's insignificant amount, total about 4% of Canada's cheese consumption. But dairy farmers said, wait a minute, well, that's going to cost us sales. And Cabinet said, okay, I'll tell you what, we'll give you $350 million. How does that sound? Well, that sounded pretty good. And a third of dairy farmers, there aren't that many in Canada, there's fewer than 10,000. They all have quotas. It's all under supply management. Everyone knows this. Very expensive program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they all, a third, received just an outright check under this compensation program. This is so controversial that outside of Max Bernier, really no one discusses it.
Yeah,
Conference Board of Canada, a few years back, about 10 years ago, they did a report, figured the average net worth for the dairy farmers in Canada at the time was $2.3 million. and single mothers pay more for milk under the quota system. How fair is that? No one, it's like public disorder,
yeah.
Alex.
Yeah.
No one wants to talk about it, but everyone has hot feelings about that.
Yeah, and all the politicians and all the leaders are in bed with this. And I know milk farmers, they work hard. I get it. But this is one of those things when you can't afford the milk and the cheese and the butter sure. that you're trying to buy your family, and then you're finding out that the already subsidized industry is getting a further subsidy. And by the way, we're going to throw it all thousands and thousands and thousands of liters of milk a day that we could probably send to lunch programs. People get angry.
Sure, but I mean, wheat growers work hard. Soybean growers work hard. Canola growers work hard, too. I work hard. None of us have a quota. You know, that's life.
Yeah, and you don't get subsidies. So there you go. All right. Well,
irony is noted.
There you go. You're better than a milk farmer. All right, Tom, I know it'll be busy, certainly for you today. Always appreciate it, but thanks. We'll talk again.
Thank you, Alex.
There you go. Tom Korski getting the goods always with BlackLock's reporter. But yeah, again, if you want to help the average person in the country afford things, stop the deals with subsidizing a particular part of the industry. Right? Who's it helping? But all the politicians are doing it, and they don't talk about it. But if you stopped, and we got competition with milk and that, and I know I'm going to get 1,000 emails now, maybe we'd get better prices. But to find out you're subsidizing on top of a subsidy is not going to sit well with a lot of people.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.